This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your time with me today. I'm excited to share with you a conversation I had just the other day with one of my spring, summer, and soon-to-be fall clients. Recently, she posted in our summer Facebook group about success she has created recently. Not just weight loss, though she's absolutely done that, but reforming from being what she describes as a sugar addict. And not only overcoming that sugar addiction, but doing it in a way that didn't rely on willpower and doing it in a way that really eliminated her cravings. I asked if she would be willing to talk about some of the specific changes she made, how she did it, how she's feeling, what has changed for her besides the weight loss. And she was gracious enough to agree to come on the show and share a little bit of her story. I cannot wait for you to hear it. The great thing about this story in particular, it's always amazing when people create change in their life and overcome temptation and overcome excuses. But what inspired me about this story is she joined the 12 Weeks to Transformation. And even that aside, she decided to create these changes in her life at a time when she had just moved and become a caretaker of her mother-in-law. So two huge changes in life. And she still decided, yes, this is the right time. Often we put off self-care, taking great care of ourselves, making changes to our diet, putting our health as a priority when these big things are happening in life. We tell ourselves we just can't right now. It's too much. There's too much on the plate. We just have to survive. But she found that in putting herself as a priority, despite having all sorts of other things going on in life, it made the transitions in the other areas of her life easier. And she noticed improvements in her mood, in her patience, in her ability to resolve conflict, and her overall happiness, which is so major. I know I've shared before on the podcast that my personal philosophy is that it never matters more to take great care of myself than when life feels hard, when life feels stressful, when things are overwhelming. While I used to be like, I just can't, it's too much. I'm too tired. I just need to get through. Food is comforting. What I've found since then is that I can make hard situations feel dramatically easier by making sure I'm taking great care of myself. What you're going to hear in today's episode, what you don't hear at the beginning, I guess I should start with, is she began by sharing some of the challenges within the 12 weeks to transformation that were most helpful to her, specific weeks, specific challenges that helped shift her mindset, challenges around the idea of not entertaining any other option, right? Instead of having a million different options to consider, maybe I'll do it today, maybe I won't, maybe I'll try hard, maybe I won't, just staying committed to that goal, as well as creating a new truth for yourself, stepping away from the truth of I'm addicted to sugar and I'm inconsistent and I'm just the big girl in the family and all of that kind of stuff, and really deciding I can change that. Then we dive into specific strategies, and you'll hear that part of the conversation, specific changes, specific strategies. And I share some of mine as well that I haven't shared before, especially as they relate to how I'm navigating a current fast that I am doing. So I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation, the specific tactics that we both use to win difficult moments and how difficult and how quickly change really is for each of us from our own unique perspective. So big shout out to all of my clients, but especially in this case, the bravery, the honesty of sharing your own story, your own experiences, so others can be inspired by it. And of course, the goal is always with inspiration, do something with it. So enjoy this conversation and make today really amazing.
And I'd love to dive into that with you for a second, this idea of knowing your truth and really running with it. I'm curious what that means and looks like to you, because for a lot of people, certainly for me, for most of my life, my truth was, I'm the fat girl. I'm fine at losing weight. I'm terrible at keeping it off. I'm an emotional eater. And so if you had said to me, gosh, even 5 years ago, you know, you've got to know your truth and run with it, I'd be like, my truth sucks. So I would love to know what that shifted for you, what that means for you, and how that influenced the way you make decisions.
So for a long time, my entire life, pretty much, I was the chubby girl. No one pointed it out to me. My family kind of did a really good job of centering conversations and things around my personality. I tend to be very outgoing, very mm-hmm. bubbly. I've also always kind of been the girl that has no filter, as far as my honesty. But that was more directed at other people. So mm-hmm. when it came to having no filter with myself, that was basically a load of crap. And my truth with myself was, I am the way I am, and nobody really says anything, and I have pretty healthy relationships, and like it hasn't really affected my health other than I'm overweight, but I was still exercising, I was still active and all of that. It wasn't until after I got married and I realized, like, I just want to feel better. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time to see that was in my power. I met with a health coach back in, I want to say it was 2015, and we started talking about simple things like incorporating more vegetables into my diet versus all of the processed stuff I was eating. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. Fast forward to about 2016, and I had lost a little bit of weight and done some research on nutrition and, you know, where I wanted to move forward and how I wanted to feel better. And my truth then became, I can help myself through this and no one's going to do it for me. And that's kind of where I found you, was the beginning of 2017, was podcasts and learning about food and what it can do for my body. And so through the Primal Potential podcast, I realized that how much I didn't know, but how much was in my power to change.
And I'd love to dive into, because I think you hit on something really powerful, identifying yourself as somebody who's brutally honest, but that really didn't apply to yourself, right? You were brutally honest and unfiltered with other people, but very much had a filter over your own reality. Like, I'm really not that bad. I still move. I'm not sick. I'm free from disease. Therefore, it's okay. Really selling yourself a sugar-coated version of the story that made you more comfortable while claiming you were brutally honest with other people.
Yes.
That's yes. so major.
And once I realized over probably the last 6 months of this year that I needed to own up to my part in my health and be that brutally honest with myself, that's when things changed for me. And that's when I realized, like, the excuses aren't worth it. And the junk I was doing to my body wasn't worth it. And I feel better than I've ever felt because I found that brutal honesty with myself. And I don't have any more excuses as to why I shouldn't get healthy.
You know, I love that. And it really resonates with me. And one of the things that it makes me think of is something I tell myself regularly, which is, you're never too good to be better. Because the tendency is to soothe our ego. Like, I'm healthier than I was before. I eat cleaner than I used to. And we don't say those things for any reason other than they keep us in our comfort zone.
Oh, and it's just so much easier.
Yeah. The comfort zone is where choices feel pretty easy. And you mm-hmm. don't know how great you can feel. So stepping into that truth that you had the power to change, that whatever you didn't know that you wanted to know, you could find out, you could improve your choices. There was nothing that was in your way of that. You said that you feel better than you ever have. What does that mean for you in terms of what has changed over the last, say, you did the rookies group in the winter, so that was, well, no, the spring, and then the first veterans group over the summer. So since, say, March, what has changed for you physically, but also emotionally or psychologically?
Well, psychologically, it's been huge because I have broken the cycle that food completely had over my life. I mean, I was addicted to sugar. I, you know, had to have dessert every night. I unwound with food all the time. All of our activities were surrounded by food, which a lot of times they are now. I think that's kind of the way that families operate. At least here in the States, everything is centered around a meal, but that doesn't mean I have to be. And that was really, really big for me because I was the girl that was always like, you know, oh, Stevie will finish it. Yeah. Oh, you know, just she'll, if there's a little bit left, oh, do you want it? Sure, I'll eat it. Mm-hmm. And now realizing, first of all, I don't need that. The need is not there. And then I don't want that because I don't like the way that I feel afterwards. That's a huge thing for me, is realizing what I put in my body, how much it affects my mood, my energy, all of that, and actually listening to that. I had never done that before.
Tell me, give me some examples of that, because I am totally on track with you. I get it. But my thought is, if you had said that to me 5 years ago, I don't think I would have gotten it, because it's something that you can only learn through your experience. Like, you don't know how bad you feel until you make yourself feel better, and you don't know how much better you can feel until you stop making yourself feel so bad.
Yes. A huge example that I found of this is that every June, my family and I go to Seattle for a memorial for my brother-in-law, and we visit, we rent a cabin, and my in-laws and I love to stay up to the wee hours of the morning and drink wine. It's just, it's always been a family activity of ours. Well, this year I decided to bring myself a case of LaCroix, mm-hmm. and I was going to participate in all of the activities, without the alcohol. Mm-hmm. And no one really said anything about it. Everyone was like, okay, you know, that doesn't bother us, whatever. Even if they had, I would have continued. But, realizing the next day, throughout the course of this week, each morning I would wake up and I kind of would take note of, I have so much more energy than I remember having last year. And I just feel overall like this was the best decision for me. And continuing to do that in everyday life, you know, outside of vacations and trips and things, like you said, you don't realize how different you can feel until you have the experience and you give yourself the experience of feeling better.
Let me ask you this. I would have thought, and I would have been wrong, but at the time I would have thought it would take a really long time to start feeling better, to have fewer cravings, to have more energy, to physically feel better in my body, to feel more confident and capable. Would you say that it took less time or more time than you thought it would?
Oh, it completely took less time for me. I mean, for the first 30 something years of my life, I was totally addicted to sugar. Mm-hmm. And so if you had told me or any member of my family, Stevie's going to give up sugar, they would have laughed.
Yeah.
I mean, between the ice cream and the candy, and I was a total addict of plain M&Ms. I loved them. I now haven't had them in probably 4 years, but, you know, to make that conscious decision and go, no, I'm going to give this a try. I'm going to walk away from sugar, whether it's real, you know, white cane sugar or monk fruit or actual fruit or, you know, any type of additive like that has not been in my diet. And I don't miss it. And a couple of years ago, there's no way I could have told you that I would have the willpower or the you know, the base of action to be able to make that step. And it's taken no time at all for me in, you know, in the overall picture, no time at all for me to realize that I don't need it. I don't miss it. I don't want it.
You know, it's interesting you say willpower. And I agree with you. I would not have thought I had the willpower either. And to me, it's not about willpower. I don't consider myself a particularly strong-willed person. What it was for me that made the difference that I really work hard to get people to embrace through these weekly challenges is it was creating the contrast. I didn't know how bad I felt the way I was living. Like I knew I didn't feel amazing, right? But it was just what I was used to. I was used to being exhausted when I woke up. I was used to being exhausted in the afternoon. I was used to having cravings all day long. I didn't realize, I knew that I was going to feel better if I lost weight. And I thought that that would be more mental, like I feel better because I'm not so fat. But for me, what keeps me away from the binging behaviors, the overeating, the wanting to go back to sugar is the contrast that I created through stepping away from those things and really loving more, feeling mentally clear, emotionally clear. I used to be an emotional train wreck. Everything would upset me, frustrate me, piss me off, make me cry, whatever. And so much of that had to do with my diet. So I don't feel like it requires a lot of willpower to stay away from the processed foods and things like that. Because I was a sugar addict just like you. In fact, you say, you know, if your family knew, you know, that you were going to give up sugar, they would say, oh, no, not Stevie. I think if I had said that to my family, they would have said, are you dying? Like, because that would be the only way. Do you feel like it requires a lot of willpower?
You know, I don't know that willpower was the right word. I think it's action. It's yeah. One small choice at a time, one yeah. Small step, and those build on each other. And for me, it's each little choice that I make to make a better decision. It just brings that motivation and that really good feeling of, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it again.
Yeah. It really is the repetition of these tiny little things that in and of themselves, in fact, they're probably the very tiny things that you used to dismiss as too small to matter, as I used to dismiss as too small to matter. Those tiny little, no, I'm not going to have a sip. Is a sip going to make a difference? No, but I'm not going to do it. It's those small little choices that in the moment seem insignificant that really tip the scales.
Yes. Yeah. And I've really found that, that the little, you know, and one of my, mantras for a while there was, I'm saying no now so that I can say yes to the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And, that little thing, that one sentence and just, nope, not today, not right now. It's amazing how much that builds on itself and just how much better you feel when you take that control.
Oh, for sure. And that's a key word there, control. Feeling out of control sucks. And when yes. You always let your cravings lead you, though the craving has no control, because you keep letting it lead you, you feel out of control. And that is a scary place to live. But when in a moment, I remember you just kind of brought me back to when I was first starting out, I wouldn't say, no, I can't have the M&Ms. No, I can't have the donuts. I would just say, not today. And I had a little note on my iPhone, and if something popped in my mind, like, oh my gosh, so-and-so is eating, you know, takeout from the Japanese restaurant that looks amazing, I would write down Japanese takeout in my little notes app. It sort of was allowing me to acknowledge, like, yes, that would be great, and yes, I will have that, but I'm not going to have it today. And that was
really awesome technique. I like that.
Yeah, because I think to deny yourself, it's kind of like if a screaming kid wants the iPad and all you say is like, no, 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 you know, they just want it more and they're going to fixate on it more. But for me, it was sort of like saying, yep, okay, I hear you. That would be amazing. That does taste really great. Writing it down so that I don't, you know, if I fear I'm going to forget that I really wanted that, it's there. It's not going anywhere. It's always an option. And it really is just this moment, switching from that paradigm of I'll be better tomorrow to just for today. is so basic. And I, gosh, just listening to the podcast and being in the 12 weeks of transformation, you've probably heard some variation of that a gajillion times. But that's what we dismiss, is those simple things. They seem too simple to make a difference. And yet they're the thing that makes all the difference in the world.
Oh yeah, definitely. And knowing that it's one small thing at a time, and knowing that I'm not tackling my entire life right now, I'm tackling one day at a time, and reminding myself that it's just one choice.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's much more manageable.
Oh, totally.
I was just about, I was making a note to myself earlier that I was going to record for you guys one of the daily coaching audios is going to be about this fast that I'm presently doing. So I'm currently, let me see here, I'll tell you exactly. I'm currently 47 hours and 41 minutes into my fast. And one of the silly little things that helps me is if I have a moment where I feel really hungry, and that happens, right? Whether you're fasting or not, that certainly happens. What I do, as crazy as this sounds, I start my stopwatch on my phone and I just want to see how long it's going to last. So I'm not panicking like, oh my gosh, I'm starving. It's literally, I'm curious, how long is this going to last? And then when I shift my attention from drama and resistance to curiosity, all of a sudden it eases. And what I've found 47 hours and 40 minutes, whatever it is, into the fast, is that I've never had one of those moments last longer than 4 minutes. And while, yes, I'm fasting and not everybody does extended fasts and that's fine, I think the same thing is true of our cravings. If we're like, oh my gosh, I need this thing, and we respond to it with drama, it feels much bigger than it actually is. But if you're just like, curious, how long until this feeling fades? It will fade. It absolutely will fade. Have you found that to be true? Like, I'm sure you still at times, or I'm not sure, you tell me, do you at times still have the desire, whether it's for sugar or it's just overeating, right? Like, you're not hungry, but you want to eat. Have you noticed that those things can fade away?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because one of my biggest things is always is finding the, you know, the best ice cream in a town, and I'll drive long distances for good ice cream. And there's been some really, really stressful days this summer with all of the life changes that like that comes to the forefront of my mind. And I'm just like, oh, what I would give for a scoop of ice cream right now.
Yeah.
And it just sounds so good. And it's been so hot. But no, I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't want the way it makes me feel. And I just let it go. And I let it pass. And it does. It always does. And I remind myself, I'm not hungry. That adds no nutritional value for me right now, which is something I've been focusing on a lot over the past month or so. And I just don't need it. And the balance of what I need, what my body needs versus what my head wants. When I balance those out, those cravings, they totally pass much faster than I would have expected or would have been able to, you know, manage before.
I'm still amazed by how quickly they pass. And I like to think of them as a wave. And the way that I used to behave was when I reached to the peak of the wave, like my cravings were so strong and so intense, or my hunger felt so strong and so intense, I felt like I had to do something, that the only way that feeling would dissipate was if I submitted to it, if I gave into that craving, or if I ate in response to that hunger. And because that was my standard pattern of response, I never allowed myself to experience the fact that the damn feeling subsides very, very quickly if you let it. And that practice has allowed me to feel much more confident in response to those urges. And thinking of it as a wave, I think, is just a really helpful way to go, I'm going to get to the other side. I don't always have to react at the top of this feeling. It is just a wave. It's just like when you're at the peak of your frustration or anger, you're not going to stay there forever. The only way to make that feeling go away isn't to lash out. If you just sit there quietly and ride it out, you won't be mad very soon. You'll forget all about it, you know?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And just letting things pass. The drama has been huge.
Oh my gosh, I know, right? That is so in everything. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. just the drama related to how we feel about our weight or how we feel about our motivation. It is a operating system of overreacting to everything, right? Traffic.
Oh yeah.
Spilling your drink, somebody's email to you, being hungry, all of those things. Where have you found that you've been able to practice reducing the drama in your life?
The biggest area right now is caretaking my mother-in-law. Mm. It's been a huge life adjustment for us. And, you know, I'm used to taking care of family members and things, but when she's in my home and she just has a very different lifestyle. And so realizing that I can take a moment and just go, I'm going to step away and whatever the issue is, we can come back to it or it'll pass mm-hmm. and not getting so frustrated and not letting those moments control my every emotion. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have to, you know, life is bigger than one moment at a time. And, in the bigger picture of things, there's, you know, her health is what's most important and the little moments don't matter
yeah.
as much. So just letting them pass and not letting them control my entire day or my entire mood.
Yeah.
That's been the biggest area for me over the summer, I think.
What were some of the biggest changes you made or the changes that you made that had the biggest influence throughout your 2-12 weeks to transformation? Was it, I know you mentioned the challenges, the entertain no other option and stepping into your truth, but specific changes you made either in your mindset or in your choices that had a big impact. What were some of those?
One really big one for me was being very mindful of my portion sizes mm-hmm. and what's actually on my plate, where I thought in my head, you know, when you think about working out and, you know, certain people will tell you, you need to eat more protein and this and that. Well, I switched it up to eating a lot more vegetables, mm-hmm. And kind of keeping protein as a side dish, mm-hmm. To where I felt like I was satisfied so much faster mm-hmm. that I didn't need to eat anymore. Mm-hmm. And listening to that was a huge shift to me. I didn't need to overeat because I was getting all the nutrients that I needed. I was fueling my body when it needed to be fueled and being mindful of the fact that I just didn't need as much as I thought I did. And that actually spilled over into a lot of different areas of my life where, you know, if I want something, let's say I'm scrolling through Amazon or I'm on Pinterest or whatever, and I want whatever this item is, the new workout top or something, the want and the need, I had to separate those.
Yeah.
And from food to other areas of my life, that was big for me, knowing what I needed versus what I wanted.
Yeah. And that it's okay to sometimes give yourself things that you want, but just the practice of differentiating, I think, is really powerful.
Yes. Yeah, it really was for me.
You just mentioned something that is critical, and you alluded to it earlier as well when you said you're really focusing on like the nutrient density of foods that you're eating, and you said that eating more vegetables, having protein as a side dish, you are satisfied much more quickly. And I think what people overlook, and I know I did, because when I wasn't eating good quality whole foods, when I was eating a lot of fast food, a lot of processed foods, a lot of sugar, a lot of starch, I was always freaking hungry. And I was afraid in a lot of cases to eat better because I thought that I'd have to eat so much less, and I was already anticipating problems like hunger or problems like not being satisfied. And I think in large part because I had done so many crash diets before. But when you focus on giving your body nutrient dense meals, your hunger balances out so quickly because your body isn't clamoring for nutrients like it is even when you're eating a ton of calories, but they're largely nutrient void. Your body doesn't have the ability to say, hey, we need a lot more nutrients. The only way it can send that signal to you is through things like hunger. And so while you don't need fuel, your body is screaming at you for nutrients. And I found that to be true as well. And certainly a lot of my clients as well. When you eat well, you're less hungry. Would you agree?
Oh, totally. I feel like I'm never hungry anymore. And much like you, I'm in the middle of a fast at the moment too, because I wanted to see, I haven't felt hungry in quite a while. Mm-hmm. Because I still, you know, I eat with family and I eat with my husband. And so I, you know, center my meal times around normal meal times. And I wanted to feel what it would feel like to not do that and actually feel hungry, because I feel like my meals have been so nutrient dense and so good for me that the sensation of hunger is just mostly gone mm-hmm. throughout a regular day, which is amazing because I never would have thought that was possible.
What has been your experience of fasting? What are your general kind of initial thoughts about it?
I love not centering my life around food first. I'm still, you know, I'm at the point where, what time is it? What is this? 18 hours, 20 hours. I'm somewhere around 20 hours okay. in.
Yep.
And I've done a 24-hour fast before, but I'm going to try to send this one into day two. Mm-hmm. I just love that no matter what I'm doing, when I'm out and about or I have errands to, you know, I used to be the person that when I started switching up what I ate, I would carry almonds with me, or I would carry an Epic bar with me, or I always had to have a snack as yeah. like a safety net.
Right.
And now it's like, no, I'm aware of what my body needs and I don't need food right now. And I, as long as I carry water with me and I, you know, keep myself hydrated, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And fasting is an amazing way to, or it has been for me, to break away from that cycle of needing a snack or centering life around food.
Or even just convincing yourself that you need a snack, right? Because yeah. like that's so much of what it is. None of us are at risk of starving.
Mm-mm.
Which nope. is nope. such a, it goes back to the drama point, right? We don't need to be so dramatic about this idea of eating. And I think, you know, just for the sake of covering all my bases and being responsible, I don't think anybody should be fasting who's not consistently eating well. Like if you're still struggling with binging or overeating or not consistently eating clean, stay the hell away from fasting. It's not necessary. But once you have that consistency down, I do think it's a great way to further refine your response to hunger. I don't think I would have learned the quickness of the hunger dissipation. I don't think I would have experienced that without fasting. And that has been tremendously helpful to me. But I wasn't ready for that a couple years ago. And I think I would have binged before a fast and after. And a lot of people fall into that trap. So I think having that mindset of really taking great care of yourself first and foremost has got to be the solid foundation.
Oh, absolutely. And I know, you know, for me a couple of years ago, what it would have been is I would have had to convince myself, you know, this hunger is not going to pass. And I really do need that snack. Like I yes. need it right now.
Something's wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And now knowing nothing's wrong, I'm fine. I'm really not going to starve. I got plenty of fuel on my body
yep.
to get me through this. And when my body really needs nutrients, I will give it to, yes. I will give my body what it needs.
Absolutely. I think that's just like a really healthy, wonderful perspective. So bravo to you on that. I'd love to wrap up with a couple final questions. I know a lot of people get nervous about the 12 weeks to transformation because they've never done it before, because maybe they've let themselves down in the past. What would you say to somebody who is on the fence based on your experience now having been through two?
First, make the investment in yourself. The fat loss fast track isn't really, or 12 weeks transformation, isn't about the group. It's not even about you, Elizabeth. It's about the gift that you can give yourself yeah. of challenging what you're used to. And that's what it was for me, is here's what I've done before that hasn't worked. Here's how unhealthy I feel. let me change my perspective on that and see where it takes me. I went into it, I really didn't have a lot of expectations for myself. I really just wanted to learn and soak up information and soak up the group atmosphere. But what I took away from it was so much more than that and has truly changed my life. So make the investment in yourself and give yourself the gift of what it means to take small steps toward your health and your well-being.
Yeah, it always is those small steps. People want like this total overhaul, but that's not, it's not the most effective way. So I couldn't agree with you more on that part. Yeah. What would you say is the thing that has surprised you most about taking better care of yourself?
In the first transformation group, we did, there's, and you call it a toolbox, and each week we get a new tool, whether it's, you know, the breakfast mindset or setting up your evenings for success or those small things. And I think taking each of those little tools has been so transformational for me, to realize that I have these things in the back of my mind, sometimes in the forefront of my mind, if I put them on a post-it or they're like on my desk, to remind myself, like, you can get through this. It's one thing at a time. You have all of these tools backing you up, all of this knowledge backing you up. And you just have to put in the work.
Yeah. And I have to say that it has been amazing to watch your perspective kind of incrementally get stronger and more clear and more confident and more certain. It's just such a cool thing to be a small part of. And I just have to give you all the credit, especially because you could have made excuses about how this wasn't the right time in your life and there was too much going on and too much change happening. I personally believe that those tough times in life are the best times to really invest in yourself and take great care of yourself because it does make it easier, and not doing anything actually makes it harder. But that's not an easy choice to make. It takes a tremendous amount of inner strength. And so my hat's off to you because you just had so much going on in your life and you still leaned in, did the work, didn't give up, didn't make excuses. And so major kudos and congrats.
Well, thank you. It's been transformational to say the least, and has really honestly eased my mind as to what I'm capable of as a woman, what I'm capable of as a wife, of what I can do for my own health, to realize that you are in my corner, even though I've never met you and now talking with you, but realizing the tools that you've given us, and all we have to do is put in the work and be honest with ourselves, and our entire lives can change if we put in that work and make that investment.
And you're changing your entire life, and it's beautiful to see, and it's inspiring to see, and I'm so excited for you. So thank you so much for sharing kind of part of your story with me. And this will not be the last time that we have this conversation, because I know that this is not in any way like how things end in health. This is how things begin.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It's amazing. Thank you so much, Stevie. It was really, really my pleasure to speak with you today.
Right back at you. And I look forward to starting the next 12 weeks.
I know. It's going to be here before we know it. I can't wait. Thank you so much. I hope you have an amazing day.
All right. You too. Enjoy the rest of the thunderstorm.
I sure will. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes.
just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.